Hello and welcome to ATO After the Whistle, the official podcast of the Capital City Supporters Group. I'm Johnny MacArthur. I'm here with Joey, you know, giving you reactions, analysis, and hot takes. We are speedrunning this because we don't want to fucking talk about this game or team anymore. Joe, do you agree with me on this?
Yeah.
Just, okay. We basically got a couple things we do want to talk about. First, I want to talk about Lieberman Torres. What the fuck were you thinking, bruh? How long were we into this game? 25 minutes. 25 minutes. Straight red card. Headbutt. Right in front of the referee. Absolute brain dead play. So that's 3-game suspension. We have 2 games left in the regular season and probably only 1 playoff game if we're playing like we currently are. We will likely never see him again. What did you think about Lieberman Torres' send-off?
A young child came up to me afterwards and said, "I blame Torres for this and everything." And yeah, that about sums it up for me.
The thing is that we were pretty good before that. Honestly, I could have seen us get a goal. We had at least a chance, just not a great finish. But, you know, I could have seen us getting something into this game. And then womp, womp, womp. There was no chance after that, was there?
I would argue that we were good afterwards, too. There was a lot of really brilliant flashes from the team, especially on, like, individual bases. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of, like, skill play happening. There was a lot of effort being shown by a team that has not shown any effort for the last month and a half, and all it took was us to have 10 men against a rival. Great to see some motivation. Unfortunate that it didn't result in any point. Even worse that it had to come from the scenario it came from.
Well, I mean, it's kind of pathetic that we're only up for it once we go down to 10 men to begin with. There is a lot to say about how we sort of fought back after that. We still never got a shot on target, even though we got 8 more off target. Like I said, I don't really want to talk about this fucking team anymore, man. It's just disheartening. There is a big other talking point, and we have been getting dragged and clowned for the past 12 hours over this. Rightly so. Did you watch the post-match press conferences with Carlos Gonzalez and Benjamin Mora?
No, I left the pub like immediately and then just sat in the rain for a little while. What did I miss, Johnny? Sum it up for me.
So you stayed off the internet completely because this was everywhere.
Yeah, no. I've been watching South Park nonstop for the last like 12 hours.
So essentially, when asked about what his thoughts are about maybe facing York in the playoffs, Carlos Gonzalez said that they actually are probably the weakest team of this playoff bunch and they don't have many tools. This is a guy who has lost 3 times to York United this season. Our record against York United is abysmal overall. We have only won 2, lost 6, and drawn 10. And he has the gall after this match to come and say that they are... The past 3 games, by the way, we have lost 3 times in a row to them to an aggregate score of 7-2. And he has the nerve to say that they are the weakest team in the playoffs and do not have a lot of tools. What do you think of this?
I can feel his like media trainer cringing as the words escape his mouth, and whoever at the club has to actually put that into words and publish it somewhere is just crying as he's typing it out.
Don't make me do this. Please. You can obviously read this and more in the Forward Press. I'm not sure if it's published yet, but it will be soon. And you can see all of his comments about this. I just thought it was pathetic. You know, we have talked at length about how Carlos was kind of a king of press conferences. He was always well-spoken. He was always calm under pressure, realistic, maybe had little digs now and then, but they were like, you know, subtle and well-spoken. And in the past month, he has basically shattered all that goodwill. He has become just whiny, complainy, unlikable. And, you know, this was a really dumb comment to make. Like, what a dumb comment to make. No?
When you're on the way out, you tend to turn off all filters. What are they going to do? Fire you? You're already gone.
Well, that had lashing out like written all over it. Like, you're absolutely right. This was somebody who's on the way out. And I can only hope that on the way out, he actually, you know, spits facts about the league rather than just saying stuff like this. Because if he just goes on like this, everyone's just going to call him a sore loser and maybe not believe him if he starts to tell some actual truth. So
there's taunting and then there's throwing a fit.
Yeah. So there's a part 2 to this as well. And I would implore you to go watch this. Benjamin Mora's responses to this was just I understand why the York faithful would love this guy's responses to this, because it was some pretty Chad stuff. He said, he basically said, weak links. He said, well, Ottawa, you know, I don't have a lot of opinions about Ottawa. They have great players. They have really great players. So maybe their weak link is somewhere else. And then he smiled. What do you say to that?
Watching that game and seeing the differences when the cameras cut between the two technical benches, like the two technical areas, showing like how each coach was managing things, they had a shot that was missed and it cut immediately to their coach being pissed the fuck off. That's great. That's how you want a coach to respond when you should be winning a game by a lot more than 1-0 in an 11-10 man match and you're frustrated with your team. That's what you should look like. When your guy gets a red card for stupidity, it shouldn't cut to you doing like some stupid Jim Halpert at the camera. Because that's what they did with Carr. It cut to him and he was just shrugging, going like, oh, that was a silly. Not going to put that in the highlight reel.
Oh my God. No, it's just checked out, man. He's completely checked out. I think I can speak for many people when I say that I just can't wait for the season to be over, to be quite honest with you. It really is like a guy who's halfway out the door. That's the sort of vibe that I'm getting from this. I thought that the way he conducted himself, the way that he spoke in this press conference, he embarrassed himself. He embarrassed the team. And I'm embarrassed having this guy be the coach of my club, you know, hearing that. We talked about, like, what do you think that locker room looks like right now? You know, if they go on their Twitter and they watch us getting absolutely clowned for their coach and they're saying stuff like that, are they really going to be motivated to perform for this man for the last two plus games of the season? I wouldn't. Why would you?
It can't be a pretty sight walking into that locker room after a game, especially after a game like that. Like, you see all these clips out there of these monumental bring tears to your eyes, we lost this game speeches that have gone viral in the history of sports. Carlos Gonzalez would never. And when you get into a position such that this team finds itself in around this time of year every year, you need a coach who is not going to be afraid to sit his team down and say, in 15 minutes from now, you're not going to remember this.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can just imagine being a player in that locker room and then, you know, scrolling Twitter afterwards and then reading the quotes, reading what Carlos said, reading what Mora came back with and being like, I'm out, like, for the season. Honestly, I am out. And if we look at the schedule for the rest of the season as well, obviously Forge clinched the regular season title yesterday, which was added insult to injury. That was fantastic. For the rest of our season, we have Forge away, which is great. Perfect. And then we have Vancouver at home. So I don't really see us getting results in either of those games, to be quite honest. Maybe Vancouver, we can sneak one. Forge, absolutely no way. York's next two fixtures are Pacific at home and Halifax away. I could see them getting results in both of those games. And you know what happens if what I think happens, well, it happens, is that we finish the season fourth. I think that is the most likely scenario for us this season, is that we finish fourth. We go from having an 8-point lead at the top of the league to finishing fourth and then limping along, possibly losing the play-in game of the playoffs to whoever ends up in that fifth spot, whether it's Valor, Pacific, or Vancouver. That's what I see happening. What about you?
I hate this timeline. I hate it so much. Like, an early 8-point lead is great if you can maintain it. And I think there was a sense quite early on, right when the first points started dropping, that I think we all knew that there was an inevitability to where we would end up at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. But now that that reality is actually like facing us, it doesn't make it any better. And I just would really, really like some consistency from our team. It's been half a decade of not having any footing, and that to me is the most exhausting thing. I know I got clowned quite hard in the Discord for my opinions before, but frankly, I stand by it. I would rather take, at this point, after everything, I would still take high-end mediocrity on a consistent level than great one year, awful the next, because frankly, I just can't keep investing myself into zero return.
Like, what if we want to look at the bare facts here, we have had one good season, obviously, in our existence. Only made the playoffs, so once made the final, we won the regular season. With the first half of our season this year, we argue obviously was good. We had an 8-point lead by about the midpoint, but we always knew that it was shaky and it wasn't consistent or sustainable in any way. So yeah, the entire time that we've existed, we have had one good season. Carlos Gonzalez has had one good season. And even then, we played bad football that we didn't really enjoy. We just put up with it because we were winning. Obviously, this can't continue. There has to be some sort of future for this club. And like we said, we've personally, emotionally, I'm pretty much already checked out of the season. I imagine that many of the players also are. So now we look forward to next season. I really look forward to what we bring in coaching wise, how they can motivate our players. We only have 9 players on full contracts next season. We have a couple of options. But of our 9 players on full contracts next season, one of them is Noah Verhoeven. One of them is Jonathan Grant. As far as our options, we've got Didic, we've got Mateo, we've got Yesley, we've got Zach Waugh, and I think Sam Salter. It's going to be a massive amount of turnover, massive amount of turnaround. And I think that just, you know, having 2 seasons in a row end with epic slides that are like the laughingstock of the league is a result of there's just rot in this team. In this club, there is a rot somewhere and it needs to be pulled out. And this past offseason, we thought that getting rid of all of our poor players and upgrading them and keeping our coach was the answer. Clearly, that was the wrong decision. And the proof is in the pudding with how the end of this season is turning out. The rot clearly started up a little bit higher and it needs to be cleared out and replaced. Otherwise, this type of stuff is just going to happen again and again.
My biggest fear going forward is, how will these slides affect our reputation to the players we're trying to attract?
Yep.
And how are we going to be able to replace this, you know, failed experiment of a super team that we put together? How are we going to replace that on a functioning level if people don't want to come here, if they're going to expect up and down play?
Yep. No, you're absolutely right. It's a huge thing in this league when, you know, most of the players in the league are pretty similar level, and you have to sell them on something for them to pick your team over other people's teams. Whether that's, you know, Halifax always brags that they sell their big crowd, which is a good selling point. We also have a good crowd. That's a good selling point for us. You know, preseasons in either Spain or in Mexico, big selling point, possibility to move players on. We've done that before. But then there's the other side of the coin. You know, you're the team that had epic collapses 2 years in a row. You were the team that had a super team that everyone was buying into the idea, oh, we're definitely going to win some silverware this year because look at all these players that we're bringing in. And then this happens. If you're a new player coming into the CPL or already a CPL player wanting to move to another club, what reason do you have to pick us over somewhere else? We're slowly knocking those reasons down.
At some point, Atletico Madrid is not going to be enough, and that's kind of one of the points I was trying to get across before. Yeah. When I was saying, like, take away Atletico, we're not the biggest club. Mm-hmm. At some point, like, if you look at the history of the clubs that Atletico Madrid has bought and expanded, they expect results, and if results don't happen, they're quick to sell the license off.
Yeah.
And so
happened in India.
If we have to be prepared for the fallback of what happens the day that this club exists, but not without the guidance ship of Atletico, what would it look like? And if it looks like this, we wouldn't continue.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. Our selling points are slowly becoming, you know, not enough. I think I shudder to think what this offseason might bring. I really hope that we get the coaching situation figured out first and early, because I think that's going to be the biggest way to save some sort of reputation to really bring in the quality of player that we need. You know, if we don't have the coaching situation figured out until late in the off season, what are we selling people on? You know, a club that's cereal bottlers is what we're selling them on at the moment. And if God forbid we bring Carlos Gonzalez back as well, you know, what is that? Who would we be able to bring in then? So I don't know. I just hope that we're already making moves for next steps for the future. Because, you know, some people will say, well, there's still something to play for. You know, we're in the playoffs. We could still win the thing. I don't see it happening. I think that's dreamland. I don't think that will ever happen. We should really be looking forward to next season already.
Yeah, there's not much more to say after that. It's just, yeah. things can always happen as long as your hat's in the ring, sure. But you have to look at precedents and you have to look at reality just as much as you can look at the hopes and the dreams. And I think right now the reality is exhaustion, frustration, and a lack of trust within themselves and within the crowd.
And momentum is a thing, right? I mean, if we were hovering around 6th or 7th and then finished 4th on the last couple of days, then hell yeah, I think we could go somewhere in the playoffs. We're on an upward swing. We're in the complete opposite direction here, which is why me and you believe that we're not going to put this over the line just because we made it into a playoff position. It's just morale is at an all-time low, and you know, going into a must-win situation like the playoffs, you know, we don't have a win in how many games? At least not the last 5. There's just no momentum to build on there. So we clearly can't win must-win games. We can't get results in must-get-result games. So a one-off play-in game at the beginning of the playoffs, I don't see it, man. Not at all.
And then it's, say we win that one, it's still the longest possible trek to the final after that.
Exactly.
And each chance that we win, sure, our chances grow, but also the team that we're playing against inevitably becomes Forge.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of, next match, Saturday, October 12th, 4 p.m., away at Forge FC. What do we have for a watch party for this one?
Going to be honest with you, not 100% sure yet what we have planned, because it is the last regular season watch party. I'm still bouncing some ideas off of the upper management of CCSG to try to turn it into some sort of a blockbuster event. Mm-hmm. But rest assured that we will have something entertaining, more so than the game.
More so than the game. Oh, I love it. Other than that, obviously we have the new show that we've been plugging the past couple weeks, The Pulse. Please send your clips into that once Bryce posts the questions, because they will be juicy, and I would not be surprised if The Pulse is longer than this show this week. So please send in your recorded answers for that. Make sure you yell and swear and make it really funny, because that's really all that we have to hold on to these days. Writer Shed, Forward Press, like I said, you're going to want to check that out to hear these press conference remarks, because they're absolutely absurd. Player rankings, match day in review. We also have Golden Scarf Nami articles coming out. The Aparicio article is already out. I believe the next one should probably be out sometime this week. Become a member of CCSG, $20 a year, $15 for students. Funds things like TIFOs, events, domain costs, etc. Gets you access to exclusive events, merch, and the Discord server, where we bitch about this team these days every day. Yes, it might not be the most positive place to be at the moment, but believe me, in the offseason it will be very fun, especially with hockey season starting. If you want to be at our last regular season home game, go to capitalcitysupporters.com and get tickets in the dub. Joe, short and sweet episode, not so sweet maybe, but sorry for not asking for a mailbag, but honestly, we just didn't want to, we read the room and figured that that wasn't really the vibe this week.
Yeah, again, I have no bits to add here. something, Joey said something funny and Johnny had to censor it.
There you go. There you go. All right, switch to a better podcast after this one, because this one's a little bit dire this week. Joe, I will talk to you next week, buddy. Hopefully we got something funny to talk about and not disappointing or embarrassing.
Here's hoping.